All right, it is 6:32. Let's do a call to order. Do we do oath of office before the roll call? Because that's how it's listed.
Yes, we should.
Okay.
So would somebody like to take a photo?
Sure.
And Katya, can we have you come over here by the...
Where?
We'll do it.
Okay.
So you want to raise your right hand.
Okay.
And you can either read it, or if you'd like me to read it, you can just follow along.
I can read it.
Okay.
Okay, where should I look? At you or
at her?
You should look at me and smile. One more, here we go. One, two, three. Oops, what happened? Didn't like it. Still didn't like it.
I think your finger might have been fried.
What the heck?
You broke it.
No, I can't. Oh.
Hold your breath.
There we go, one more time.
Your daughter's like that. Hey, take a question for me, Mom.
We're going to
the camera doesn't work.
I can't find the finger. It was no, I think it was dirty. Let's get it one out of there.
I support the solemn swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and of the State of Minnesota and faithfully discharge the duties of the office of commission member of the Parks Recreation Committee of the City of Centerville in the County of Anoka, State of Minnesota, to the best of my judgment and ability.
Welcome aboard. All right, now we will do the roll call. I'm going to start over here because I'm a lefty and I like that.
Council liaison Terry Sweeney.
Kathy Fryermuth, Park and Rec.
Heidi Erickson, Park and Rec.
Ashley Folks, Park and Rec.
Kaiser Borchbeck, Park and Rec.
Suzanne Seeley, Park and Rec.
Teresa Bender, City Clerk.
All right. So if everybody can take a quick look at their agenda and we'll see if we need any changes or if we can approve the agenda.
Could I start with, we seem to have a hiccup in the Roman numerals. Could we just change them to something that,
we could change the second number. Yeah, we can. Okay, so after the first three, let's make a four.
So public hearings would be IV.
Mm-hmm.
And committee business would be V.
Yep.
And then we're going to have to keep going to get them correct.
So then VI2?
That's VI. One for committee business, two for approval of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Three for announcements and update. And adjournment would be 1X, I believe.
Yes, I think you are correct. Good catch.
Okay, that'll make things a little easier.
Were there any modifications to the agenda?
Just a thought, we'll probably, if Brian's not here, by the time we get to his stuff, we'll probably just delay it until he arrives. So that would be like music in the park and the scout cleanup. Other than that, it looks good to me. Any other thoughts from anyone else? All right. Can I get a motion to approve, to the approval of agenda with a number changing?
I would... Well, I don't know if I can do it since I changed them. Ashley, do you want to accept the minutes with the changes?
I'll accept the changes in the minutes.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
So that was, the motion was made by Ashley, and it was seconded by Heidi, and the motion passed. Okay. So we are up to awards and presentations and appearances. So you are up. And if you could wander over to the podium there, that would be lovely.
Okay. I know a few of you.
Yes.
No. My name is Kirk Laser, and I'm the city attorney. And so I try to be a resource to you. And one of those things is to remind people that don't work in government that there's a lot of rules that go with working in government. And the most kind of common problem that a committee or on the council can have is to violate the open meeting law. We don't want you to do that. I'm going to do this right away. I was talking to a TV over there. Oh, does that thing work? Can I plug my computer into
the BenQ? Yes, it should.
Wow, look at that. That's interesting.
No.
So just to go through, I know that Teresa put in an outline from the League of Minnesota Cities. I just want to talk through that in like real human language because there's a law that's out there, the open meeting law, that's meant for our government to be transparent. And that comes down to you as individual commission members. You have a responsibility to have all your communications here. And if you have communications about city business outside of here, that could actually get you in trouble. And so I want to tell you how that works and so how you can effectively communicate government business. Question, Teresa, did they get to the email? Commission members get email?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the first thing is, when you have communications with each other or with the city, use the city email. Don't use your own email. And the reason for that is because if anyone ever wants to ask if you've been communicating with other members of the commission or with the city, they have a right to see those communications. There's some exceptions where things could be confidential, but the general rule is they want to see that. And if you're using your personal email, it means that you might have to turn over your entire personal email to them. And there's no reason for that. That's why the city gives you city use email, and just write on that to your heart's content. There's no reason that they need to know anything about your personal life by getting into your personal email. The next thing about our gatherings are if you want to talk about business, you can talk about it here. If you guys gather outside of this proceeding and you start talking about city business, you could be violating the open meeting law. And there's a formula for that. Because it used to be a lot of city business in a lot of cities went and happened at the local cafes. People would go or they'd sit at the bar and they'd have a drink and they'd talk about city business. Then they came into City Hall and they kind of announced what they talked about. And the public never got to be part of those meetings. And so the whole idea is, if you're going to have even discussions about city business, have them here. But if you're going to have discussions about city business someplace else, then we need to come up with strategies for you to not get in trouble. Where this has happened in the past is we have a lot of community members that are, for example, on the Lions Club. And right now, he knows, Lions Club meeting, you could be violating the open meeting law because there's too many Lions Club members there. But what the city does, if you all are having a party, if you're all at a public event where you are going to see each other and talk, please let City Hall know. Because City Hall will post that event, let Teresa know, or Mark know, or me know, or anybody. And they'll post it so that the public knows that you are going to be gathering at some event. And how it works is if a quorum of your committee gets together and you talk about city business, you violated the open meeting law. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Quorum is
7.
4. 4 of 7. So if 4 of you get together and talk about city business and you're not here and you're not at a publicly notified event, you are violating the open meeting law. If 3 of you are discussing city business, you are not in trouble. That's the way the formula works. So if the commission, because before Katya joined tonight, the quorum level was different. It was down by 1. So just keep that in mind. If you want to even talk about things in email, now this is the way that, in the modern way, we get caught, is serial communications. Is that you email her, you mail her. And so if you've emailed four people and it gets passed along, or if you hit an email and you hit reply all and it hits everybody on the commission, you also violate the open meeting law, because you can't have that communication out of the public eye. So if individuals want to chat with each other by email, that's fine. Just don't pass that same thought on to the next commission member. And if you want something communicated to the whole group, there's an easy way to do that. Is that we as city staff, whether it's Teresa, Chris, Mark, me, we can email a whole bunch of you, and we're not violating the law, because it's coming through the central city source. So if you have some kind of memo or some idea that you want everyone to know about, shoot it to her, and she will shoot it out. So that's the easiest way to do that.
Could I get a question? When you say whenever we meet, for instance, that immediately comes to mind are programs like Music in the Parks. I think quite often there'll be at least 3-4 of us there or more. Is it okay to give Teresa permission to say that there'll be a quorum, and just like in advance?
That's exactly what to do. Yeah.
No, I mean, not one night, but for the whole summer, you can assume that there'll be four people from the, and there may be, or there might not be, but does that cover us by law?
Yeah, that counts.
By law?
As long as, if you have a worry about it, I mean, if you're doing it, we're doing it for every Lions meeting now, right? It's the same thing as Terry's group.
So you also post when Fet the Lock happens, because in some way, shape, or form, we are likely to be part of that.
Yeah,
not just you.
The council, too.
The ED, the council.
Everyone. Okay, so that'll make it much simpler. So it's really the odd time that we decide to have a subgroup or something like that. That's the most important one to tell Teresa about.
What do we, if you have a quorum.
That's my point.
We noticed, I think somebody had a kegger in their garage years ago. Who was that? Used to be on the council, play bass. You know who he is.
Tom Lee.
Mm. Yeah.
I have a question. One of the things that we kind of tried to do to streamline our meetings and such is that we talk about Park and Rec business here, but we have kind of moved out of talking about the activities that we do, if for planning and for putting them together purposes. For example, we could just use like Movie in the Park. That's one of the activities that we run. We usually have a few people there. So what we do then is we would have a subcommittee that puts together getting all the parts and pieces there. So somebody would talk about getting the projector, somebody would talk about bringing food, another person would talk about making sure we have the electrical hookups and all the things we need. Is that, I don't know that that's technically committee business. Is that something that if we have four people discussing and helping with that event that we really need a quorum about? Because it's not park business, it's an activity.
Let me take a long way around to answer that question. is that there's the actual violation of the rule, and then there's the appearance of the violation of the rule. And so even the appearance of that could, you know, for those people that do know about the open meeting law, somebody could complain about that. Certainly the newspaper reporters know what the rules are, and sometimes they want a good story, and there's been examples where in cities the local newspaper is saying, oh, I saw those four people from the Parks Commission meeting, and they did announce city business. Well, if all seven of you got together and talked about the twins and didn't talk about city business, you're not violating the law just because you're physically together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can see that there's kind of this appearance of a problem, or there's just the fact that you're not talking about city business. You know, that's where it kind of gets a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you'd have to kind of follow along the lines is you're kind of talking about city business. The easiest way to have a subcommittee to not have a problem is to limit it to three people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, kind of chamber these people to silo them over here to these three to do this and silo those people over here to do that. Or if people are going to be doing functions together, if, you know, this is, I'm always going to keep pointing at her.
Post.
Is that we don't want any of you to get in trouble. And there's a good reason for that, because if you get in trouble for this, you pay the fine. The city doesn't pay it. So you could be stuck on the, you know, for what, $800 or whatever the fine is these days, and we can't pay it for you. So don't take the risk. You know, have her post as much as you can post, and then organize the subcommittees in groups of three, and then stay away from that that way.
Yeah, and that's typically what we've done, but sometimes at the events more members will show up, or you know, like we'll have three that are there and then a couple others will pop in to help, and then we have five.
It's always wise to be on the safe side. I would rather post something in case.
Okay. Got it.
So that's it. I know it sounds weird because it's a governmental rule, but that's just the way we decided to work. You know, there was shady business that was going on in some cities, and you can't, even, you know, before, when I was first a city attorney, some of the stuff was going on, and this law has really limited the amount of shady business that happens in Minnesota. It's been amazingly effective, but it's a kind of a burden on you. So as long as you know what the rules are, just craft your business around them. Okay. Any questions? That's it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kurt.
Come back in.
Hey, guys.
Now, unless you have a really active evening, you're welcome to stay and participate and watch the rest of our meeting, but you certainly do not have to.
Thank you very much. I just spent half of my day in court for Centerville this morning, so I'm going
to
go.
Well, it was nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. Moving on, number four, public hearings. We have none, so we're going to committee business unfinished. We're going to the strategic plan and capital improvement projects. So let's move on to that page, please, everyone.
So what would be the rink community priorities?
Yes.
Should we have some happy yes?
No. Those are later in the...
There you go.
Those are later in the agenda.
Okay. Nice carpenter.
Heidi, it should be the graphs that I emailed.
Is it the ones...
I did not, again, put...
Is it the ones from the town hall meeting that we're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Okay. So we had a town hall meeting, and we have, so there's two graphs that you're looking at. We had 19 people who, out of our town of 3,847, I think, approximate people in our town, we had 19 that came in and told us what things they would like for Park and Rec and some of the other city things to work on. They kind of got mixed together. So we had a point system. The colors at the top were kind of the color of the sticker. So the most important was the blue, the next color, and so on down to the dark green was the one. And so they have a point total and a voter total. So you can see that the highest number of votes, if you're looking at the ranked community priorities, is people that attended the meeting were very interested in having a community center built in the town of Centerville. The next two that were kind of run together were the Veterans Memorial and the First Responder Memorial. There was that was very high as well. That was the next one with 47 total points.
Can you expand on what that means to
That means when given five options for things to do, that...
Can you expand on the memorials that they're referring to?
They want something to recognize veterans in our community and something to recognize first responders, so firefighters, police. Did I miss any, Teresa?
Could be a statue, could be, you know.
It could be a wall with a plaque, it could be a statue.
Yeah, this is something that the mayor has brought forth.
Yeah.
And they would like it in the park system.
Not necessarily. So as I said, some of these are park, some of these are not necessarily park and rec. So when you're kind of looking at it, affordable housing is not something park and rec can deal with. Hi, Brian. Entrance monuments, those are signs into the town. Those are also not park and rec. The community center may, but does not necessarily, is not necessarily park and rec. So there are a few that are drainage and stormwater management is not park and rec. So there are, there are several things in there that are citywide, and they were all put together. So when you look at this, it was just, what are the things that people want in our town? Because we're a small town, it made more sense to put this together than to separate things out. So
included in your packet is a bar graph.
Yep.
Of just the numbers per se. So the blue were 5 points. The most darkest neon green was 1 point. And so if you look at the bar graph, that's how the colors and stickers related.
Yeah. So as you look at that, does anybody have any questions about that? Brian and I were both here that night, and if we had questions, we just kind of answered them to the best of our ability. Teresa was also here, helping with that among all the other things she was helping with. So
then it kind of gives you an idea. It was a limited venue age group. There were two youngsters that attended. Other than that, it was maybe of an older persuasion, older generation. So where do we want to go from here? Do we want to maybe have a ranked community priorities sheet again at Fed Deluxe, where you have a bigger variety of age groups? Do you want to rely just on a survey that goes out to all residents? Where would you like to obtain more data?
Did you say Fed Deluxe?
I did.
I hadn't thought of that before. That sounds like a good potential.
I think we should get data wherever we can, and we should ask people to only vote once. And I think Fed Deluxe is great. I think our summer activities would be great. We have, at Main Street Market, we have a table. That would be a really easy thing to do. We have music in the park. I think we could probably get some other people to take care of things there. So I think wherever we can get citizen input, we should.
And how about also City Hall? Just out to fill out if they can hand it back to you.
That's a possibility. I can tell you the walk-in at City Hall has decreased over time.
Yeah, well, just in the water bill.
I really like the idea of having it at the events and having it in person so we can hear people's feedback and talk to them and get their suggestions, because some of these were not actually listed. Some of these were write-ins. And that's, how they came to be on there. Like the drainage, that was written in by someone.
All of the blue sticky notes.
on the bottom were written in.
Yep. Different ideas than what was contained on the board.
So, and that was a little, you know, it was kind of eye-opening to have people, you know, what people are thinking about and paying attention to be there. And to be able to ask them, can you tell me more about that? Because if I didn't understand, they were very willing to talk about what they were interested in, why. So I thought that was good. Or if they said playground equipment, you know, expand on that. Are you thinking for all the parks? Are you thinking, because that used to kind of be the idea, was that we would go around and improve each of the park, but more of the feedback lately has been to look at Lamont, because that's more of our big park, our premium park, but not so much as an athletic park, but the main park. And what do we need to do to make that park appealing to more members of the community? Improve the playground, maybe put the ADA equipment over there. You know, looking at the hockey boards, instead of just going with the wood, do we want to do something more substantial and do the plastic boards that are going to hold the water in better, which makes the ice better? You know, maybe looking at, would the community center go there? Or if we're going to do a warming house, are we going to do a warming house concession stand? Or are we going to do separate buildings? And how that all is going to be laid out. Some people were concerned about hockey. Some people were concerned about the ball fields. And if we fix up the ball fields, then we might get more usage at the park. So there were lots of ideas that were being thrown around, which were good.
So, every Park and Rec member, are you prepared to attend an event this summer?
Yes.
Yeah. To host the board.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The board is your friend. And it was fun. It was nice. People were generally excited to give feedback. So it was a very positive thing in my eyes.
I think it went very well. So then the next item is would you be willing to have, so if you were to take this to the Main Street Market, and let's just surmise that at least 75 people, or 75% of the people that walk through the parking lot are not Centerville residents, are you okay with them ranking?
You can ask them if they're a resident or not, and we can just at least put it down, resident, non-resident.
That way. Choose resident. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could have two boards. We could do a resident board and a non-resident board, and then that way everybody could participate.
That way you get to see what people from outside the community think of our community.
And what they would come in for.
Yeah.
Especially because you got Lionel Lakes all the way around us.
And Hugo is very close, and we pull people from Shoreview and Lexington and Circle Pines a lot as well. So, but I think having two boards might not be a bad way to go. So it's just a thought. It was real easy.
Do you have a concept of what chunk of time we want? This is.
I think it wouldn't be a problem to take the summer. Honestly, I don't think anything's going to be figured out before the end of the summer. I still would like to see us move on the playground equipment, because we have the money for that, and we have, you know, we just have to figure out our plan of attack. And you know, the other thing that we have is we have the tree plan, so we need to continue to, you know, we got to finish what we start, and those are kind of the two things that we've had in motion for a long time. So I feel like we need to finish those things. So hopefully other people agree with that. If you don't, please speak up. But okay, all right, any other thoughts on this? Okay, so that puts us to committee business unfinished. Rainbow Tree, care extension. So Rainbow Tree is willing to extend their tree injection service with a couple of minor changes. They're requesting an extension with an agreement with the City of Centerville with an updated pricing. So it went up from, what was it last year? Was it $6?
Six something.
Now it's $7.25. In addition, Rainbow Care is amending the language to guarantee, saying that contractor reserves the right to treat trees with signs of EAB infestation or in a visible infestation without a warranty. So that means they will no longer warranty the work because the infestations have been out there so long. So so if you want to take a moment to read that over, and see, and then we can talk about what we want to do with that.
Does that price also apply to the city or just to the residents?
This is just for residents. The city has a separate contract, but because the city contracts with this service, it's available to the residents.
Yep.
I mean, I think this makes sense. If they're already infested, putting a warranty on it doesn't make sense for them either, so.
Well, it does say if it's bad enough, they wouldn't treat it.
So,
which is responsible,
yeah,
and I like that.
Mm-hmm. So, do they do an assessment of the trees,
yes,
or is it they walk up to a tree to inject the chemicals and then determine if it's?
I had them come out and do my tree last year, mm-hmm, and they came and a gentleman did a full assessment. He walked around the tree, mm-hmm, he looked at it, he looked at how much of it had been infested, and he made the determination that it was less than a third of the tree and that it could be treated, and that there was a really viable chance, you know, a good chance that would work. So I have that 2-year treatment plan there. So no, they don't just come out and spray it. They come out and they assess the tree. They talk to me about my tree and what it was and what they thought. And they told me, you know, some care tips for it after. And then about a week later, another group came out and did the treatment. And then they put a little tag in the tree that tells you it's been treated.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, after that happens, I did the ash trees on my property as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2022, so in 2024, I have the even schedule. They'll mm-hmm. be coming back to inoculate again.
Mm-hmm.
I had, in 2022, 24 ash trees. And I guess when I saw the renewal, I thought, well, I'm not sure all 24 of those made it from 2 years ago, and I was about to give them a call this week. I may be in an unusual situation, because I had a lot of ash trees. For me, the bill was substantial to continue every 2 years if that tree really wasn't going to make it.
I think it would be really interesting for you to call them and to find out what they'll do with your trees and what they can tell you. I don't know that any of us are tree experts and we know that, but it would be really interesting to hear what your experience is going to be.
And so I'm very willing to do that.
Okay.
I'd like to identify myself as a park board member, in part because the question goes both ways. I may have a lot of ash trees on my personal property, but if you put all eight of our parks together, you probably have equal number of ash trees or more than I do. So it's the same question for the city of Centerville's parks. If it was approximately $100 per ash tree.
It's dependent on diameter.
Yes, it will also change it, but I'm just saying, I had 24 trees. My bill came in a little over $2,400. So approximately $100 per full-grown ash tree. I'm willing to do it every 2 years because I want to save those trees.
Right.
And from a park board perspective, it's sort of the same question. If there's 25 trees in all of our parks, don't we want at least an assessment of did four of them die? And we don't want to continue to roll forward and just treat every 2 years without some kind of assessment to see this is a good investment or it's not.
I think that's fair. I think what we need to do is we need to go, we have data about how many trees they treated and when it was treated, and I think we need to pull that out and we need to look at that. And then if we want to ask them to, because they're going to, the plan was for them to go out and retreat the trees, mm-hmm. and for them to give us an update when they retreat the trees, I think that makes a lot of sense. We need to know what we're talking about. So I don't see a problem with that.
So I don't either, and I'm willing to make that call because I want the information. But I also feel like it's important for me to be straightforward with them that, yes, I'm a private citizen, but I'm also on the park board, and I'm bringing the question to them in part to hear what the answer is for them.
Yeah, just make it, if you do that, just make it clear that there's a distinction between your trees and the park trees.
Yes.
Paul will take care of the park trees.
Paul will do the park trees?
With Rainbow Tree Care.
And will he share that information? And so then we'll get that information through Paul, through Mark. So if you just want to take care of your trees, then it sounds like was what Teresa's encouraging. Okay.
And then what I'm asking him for me personally is would you please send one of your arborists out or when they're in the area, just stop by after the trees have put leaves out and let's look at them again. I was looking last fall before the tree leaves all fell, and I sort of went, ah, man, I don't think some of these made it. And that's so what I'm asking him is, could we have an arborist come out and reassess? I know for the average person in Centerville, they don't have 24 ash trees, so I'm an exception.
Yeah, I have one. So
yeah,
I'm probably more the average than you are.
Yes,
again, so you weren't that many hittings.
Yeah, no, I think you can, as a private citizen, you can certainly call them up and ask that of them, and it sounds like that we're going to let Mark take care of the city business, and he'll give us that information so we can do that. But as far as this contract goes, I think I'm okay with endorsing it.
This is not costing you a dime.
Correct. So, any other discussion on this that we need to have?
This contract with them to be the city's preferred emerald ash borer
treatment provider,
either assessing, recommending removal, or treating. They are doing it just to keep their name and their services in our community and to work with our residents. So they will be providing 2 annual mailings like they did last year, each year, along with, the reduced rate.
Excellent.
I see no issue that no one's locked into using that. If they don't want to use Rainbow Tree Care, they're not prohibited from doing so.
So I would like to make a motion to the council to grant the extension to Rainbow Trees for the tree injection services agreement. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so Heidi made the motion and Kathy seconded the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, that puts us to committee business new budget, music in the park.
Yes. Sorry. I have all but one date booked. Hoping to get to that soon, but everyone is booked. I think last time I expressed that there's one band that I'm particularly excited about, and they confirmed that they're going to be playing. So I'm very happy about that. I'll just find one more, and we'll get that wrapped up.
Is there a budget piece that we need to discuss?
We are within budget so far, from what I'm seeing, $4,000 essentially for musicians.
Nice.
Well, that's what the budget is. We're actually under that.
Okay. So, no, we don't need to discuss budget at this point?
I don't see any to, but if there's I'm happy to entertain that conversation if someone's got a question.
Right where you're at.
Right here.
Okay. On that note, some of the performers have been receiving some increases, so we're still within budget after some of those increases. Part of this conversation is, I think the next one is probably the longer conversation.
Oh, so the licensing.
Yeah, the licensing.
Brian, can I just ask, moving forward, if we know of, like, any bands or anything like that, send them your, share with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, please feel free.
Perfect.
We've got a good, healthy list of bands that frequently play with us.
Okay.
And there's been some that I do like to keep on. They've been coming to us for so long. I have a hard time actually not inviting them back because they've been so long, but I do try to bring in some new ones at the same time. So it's a little bit of a challenge to balance the tradition versus the new, but I do my best to do it, whatever the result is.
It's always been good, and it's eclectic, and we like the mix, so that's awesome. All right, so can we go on to number two, the SESAC licensing?
Yes. Teresa's probably slightly more well-versed than I am on this, but we're essentially obligated to pay a licensing fee that covers the music that is performed to another company or to other companies that essentially have contracted or kind of own that license on behalf of the original performers and or the composers of that music. It came to our attention this year that possibly the one that we've been paying for does not cover all of the music. And I guess the complexity here is that there's three of them. And yes, we could probably analyze songs that are being played and the license that they are under and save some money, or we could just throw our hands up and pay all three of them and wash our hands of that. Teresa, do you recall, I think it's in here, but do you have the cost of all three of them individually?
I do not have BMI, and I did not approach them.
Okay.
ASCAP was $500, and that's been paid already.
Okay, that's the one we've been paying always.
What about the SESAC?
CSAC is $581.
Oh, yep, it's right here.
So when you don't know what the bands are going to be playing, how do other people handle this kind of, we'll say, above board support for the licensure?
That's a good question that I have not been able to quickly find. I did some very, very brief research, but did not have the time to dig into it extensively. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, as we discussed before, there is a way to do this. I mean, we could, I'm not suggesting this, but we could ask the performers what music they'll be playing ahead of time, and then cross-reference their songs to each of the three licenses and see where they would be.
Would it make sense to ask them to submit a playlist for this year, and then we could look to see who holds the licenses for the songs of most of the bands that we have, and then we could make some good educated guesses about, like, who carries the licenses for those songs. I mean, it would be a little bit retroactive. We can pay for it.
Yeah.
But
you asked using the word makes sense. I'm going to answer that it is feasible to do.
Okay.
Like, whether it makes sense or not, that's a little more subjective.
Wow.
Brian,
okay.
Do the musicians know what music they're playing, where it's licensed? Is that?
They probably do not know. They probably.
Wow.
They might. It's my guess.
Do we get?
It's not on them actually to pay for that. It's on us to pay for that.
Because
so.
We're the public entity.
We're the host.
If we pay this fee with each of these companies, do we get a catalog with their list of songs that they have licenses?
The catalog is online.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so I looked up a couple. I grabbed 3 to 5 and ASCAP had the ones that I was looking for. I forget where my list came from. I think I just picked some random songs that I thought were played or something like that. Okay. Well, anyway, I looked at some song lists of some of the performers I was looking at. They've got some, they always have, not always, but some of them have recordings online. And so I grabbed some of the recording titles and I put it in and see, kind of saw where it fit.
Well, we certainly want it to be feasible. So, Brian, what are your thoughts? Why don't you lead us out on this discussion?
It's a good thing you and I both have good sense of humor.
It is. We're good.
So the safe thing to do is to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's the safest thing to do. It's certainly something that could be done, but I don't know that I want to try to manage that. I would like to, but I know that something else is going to give. Either it's going to be in the program or it's going to be in something else in my life. I'm kind of I won't go in that direction. That's my stance.
How many songs does one band perform at Music in the Park?
Hour and a half. So we're looking at 90 minutes, 3 minutes a song. That doesn't seem quite right though. It's not that many songs.
Maybe 20.
Yeah. Seems about right.
Was that just random?
I was running numbers in my head and it came out to
about
20 with
the
break.
In the old days, the songs were a lot longer because I just went to Peter Frampton and all his songs were at least 6 minutes.
And
well, that's just like a 4 to 6 minute songs and then having a break and...
So, 8 bands songs. Times 20, 100, that somebody is going to research on who licenses what they're singing. Just...
Let's get an intern.
Sure, we can, well, so 500, you pay someone $581 to...
Okay. So who enforces this, pray tell? I mean, if the musicians don't know where their songs that they're playing, you know, the public venues that they play in, How does
the likelihood of us getting quote unquote caught is nil, is almost null, but that's not what it's about.
No, I'm not suggesting.
So there's really no enforcement.
I'm not suggesting we don't.
I know, and I know you. Yeah, I didn't mean.
I think I'm balking at doing all three just to cover our, you know, what season. And yet,
I would just do one.
We have word from a second one that we need, and we have received four, five. What are they going to do? This individual.
Is the other one going to come here and monitor every song that we have, and then say, "Oh, see, there you go. You should have had the, you should have had us instead of them." Okay. I kind of doubt that. Not for $500.
I'm sure
he's pretty tenacious. Looks like he's in Tennessee, so. Oh.
Yeah. It's going to cost him more to come up here and try and figure out if we're missing something than to just say,
pretty.
Thanks for letting us know. We really appreciate you.
Bye. And, you know, I don't have a problem doing that. I just want to be directed as to what the committee would like to do.
If you already have one, I would just stick with that one.
And if it's been working for years, fine.
I feel a little differently. I feel like we need to do all three. That's just me.
Do you know what BMI is?
I do not.
What kind of fine or that are you going to get if you do a swing and a miss?
Probably has to do off of population, very similar to both of these other companies.
Could be a lot more than that, but they're asking.
Well, then there would be, I mean, there's a lot of bands out there and there's a lot of venues and all this and all that. I mean, I don't think there's somebody, there can't be that much money in it. Most of these bands that are out there that are playing, they're not playing current. Well, some are, but I mean, not like the stuff that they're going to have at Music in the Park isn't going to be the current rap songs or the current, you know, rock and roll or this or that. It's probably going to be a lot more of the older stuff. And I don't really think there's anybody out there that is running around to every small little city in the state of Minnesota making sure that, you know, I get my $20 for that damn song. It's just, to me it seems like a waste. To me it seems like a waste of money to spend $1,500.
This would also be covering the band for Fête de Lox, more than likely, being that the city was licensed.
Yeah,
well, the band that's coming, it has a lot of original music, so.
And that's good.
I know what you're saying.
If you can get a playlist from every band, like each, I'll look them up. Okay.
I would be interested though to find out what's the penalty. We're doing this. No, I'm serious. What's the penalty for a swing and a miss? Because if you've got the insurance and there's one song out of 10 bands that goes outside of that insurance, is that going to cost you $500 or is it going to cost you $20? If it costs you $20, I wouldn't bother.
Let's see if Google can answer quickly.
Using the Google.
The immediate answer is fines can range from a few $100 to several $1,000 per song played.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
The Copyright Act for statutory damages up to $30,000 for each work infringed.
Mint. Work infringement. Wow.
Well, the thing too is there's a lot of parks and stuff that are playing music in the park a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
This one has a different.
But it's, I don't know.
No, this one does have the same.
It's the same.
Are there any other, like, semi-local, you know, music in the park type deals, different communities that we could reach out and see what other folks are doing?
Roseville's been mentioned by some of her attendees. That they do it every week, like we do. I think more, but I know someone who comes from Roseville, they like ours better than Roseville's. So it's one I've heard of.
Okay.
This hesitation, we've also got time, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we...
I'm sure he'd be happy to take our money the day before a performance.
Huh?
I'm sure they'd be happy to take our money the day before a performance.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if we can put this on next month, and if we can maybe do a little look into it a little bit more.
Okay. So okay. You would like a playlist from the bands?
I think if we can get a playlist. And it's okay if they're going to make last minute changes. I just would like, I don't want to make it hard on them. I just would like to get kind of, you know, a general, their playlist, so we can look things up.
You would.
And that I can, yeah, that we can look it up and see where it puts us in with these groups.
And then you would also like to know if any other neighboring community might be offering the same type music in the park and what licenses they have.
Yeah. Do we need somebody on the committee to do that research, or is that you? Okay, thank you. Okay. So I think we got that covered for now. So are we ready to move on? Okay. Brian, you're up. Scout cleanup Saturday, April 27th.
Yeah, I forgot to bring this up at the last meeting. But the scouts have been helping out with the annual cleanup for a number of years now, and so they discussed it, and they would like to do it again this year. And the 27th of September is what works within
April.
Our schedule. Yes, did I say the wrong month?
Said September.
I said September? Jeez.
He wants both dates. April
and
September.
Let's not rush the summer.
I've got a serious problem with doing that, too, by the way. April 27th, yes.
And then Centennial League, Little League will come clean up Lamont on April 22nd with a rain date of the 23rd. And so Scouts will do the rest of the parks on the 27th.
I didn't say the rest of the parks. We'd like to help with parks cleanup.
Okay.
I'm not going to put words in her mouth. They did not say we will clean up all the parks.
So are you?
It reads schedule parks and rec cleanup.
Scout cleanup, Centennial Lakes cleanup. Let me get off the agenda and see where you're at.
It's right on the agenda.
Do you know what the official
date is? I want to say it's April 22nd.
Okay, so...
I don't think we have to stick to the 22nd.
Do we have it scheduled already? No. So if we schedule it for Saturday, April 27th, then the scouts can take a section that they want to do. We can ask for other volunteers, and we can go to other parks as well. Does that seem agreeable to everyone? Does that seem like a good date?
Yeah.
April 27th, 9 a.m., meet here.
Meet here.
Bags, safety vests, gloves.
Gloves, bags.
Yeah.
I won't be there. It's a special day for me.
Okay. Fair enough. It's your birthday?
No.
That's not special.
We'll see what we can find special for you in the parks.
we'll make you a found sculpture. It'll be great.
Excellent.
9 a.m. you said?
9 a.m.
Okay.
That's what you've done in the past.
And
we will meet at City Hall to start off.
They will be in the foyer. Pardon me?
Meeting starting off at City Hall.
Yep.
Okay.
And, Chair, you have a link so that you can enter volunteers that participate.
Okay. We'll revisit that closer to the time. That's awesome. Got it. perfect. Whenever water sports, we're moving on to number four, whenever water sports, kayak and paddleboard rental kiosk. Who knows about this?
I know just briefly, enough to be dangerous.
Okay.
This was another vendor, contractor.
Okay.
That looked at the city and is interested in selling his 5-year contract for $9,999. And he will provide kiosk that contains life jackets, paddles, kayaks, sups, and he takes care of everything. The funds that are received, the releasing of the equipment, and that's through the locker's kiosk that he has. So this has been discussed with the city administrator. He believes that our city insurance is all that's needed. He believes that this could be installed at Trailside Park.
So he's asking for 2KV,
right? He's asking for $9,999.
For 5 years.
For setup for a 5-year service, yes.
So 2K a year.
That 10 yes. grand for 5 years or 10 grand a year?
Yeah.
For
10 grand for the 5 years.
So it's 2 grand a year.
Yes.
Basically.
And that would cover, he'd have all the equipment plus a kiosk, plus he would handle the incoming money. And it looks like return
if we are
20% return.
This says if we are one of the first 5 organizations to partner with them. What's the pricing if we're not one of the first 5?
8 grand.
8. He approached Mark and he approached me. He approached me with a better deal, so I have let him know that this was going to come before you this evening, so I'm hoping that he will offer it.
A better deal than the first set for the $999.99?
No, the $9,999 is what he offered me, which was a better deal than what he offered Mark.
Does he know you?
No.
Okay. Just wondering, so.
Additionally, 20% of the revenue generated will go back to the partnering organization.
Correct.
So, this is for Centerville Lake?
Yes.
If it goes on Trailside, which there's a dock there that they can use to push
not,
out.
That's not our dock. So.
So is that going to be problematic to have it there then?
You don't need a dock.
It potentially could be. That has not been talked about what the Bald Eagle Water Ski Club use of their dock.
I think that topic has come before. I think they've got some insurance issues if they allow it as to use it. But I can't speak definitively, of course.
Well, if they put the locker at the other end, that might not be an other end of Trailside. That might not be an issue.
I think if you say put it down where the willow tree was versus near the dock, you're going to have the same problem. People are going to utilize that dock to some extent, either in, out, whatever.
Okay.
Can they put a smaller dock on the other end?
The city?
I don't know.
You mean
city,
us?
Smaller dock?
City, them? I don't know.
The infamous them.
Yeah.
I guess then my concern would be is, what are your true wishes with Trailside Park? Are you open to all public utilizing it? Maybe for a beach, fishing?
It used to be
dog jumping?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the edge of the water looks like down there. I've never been down by the edge of the water. Does anybody know what the water looks, you know?
It was a year or two, they did some restoration of the shoreline. But Brian, you have probably been down there with the kayak races.
Yeah, it's not, it's a rocky shoreline, and now intentionally for with the restoration.
Does it got the, does it have the netting over it too, like they do in Hidden Spring?
I don't recall. It could.
I see potential for it. I you know, if the details can be worked out, I think it could be a great thing. But the questions that I have in my mind are, okay, if it's going in on trail side, then what does that mean for the dock, and, you know, how would that work?
Would you want to install a dock?
I don't see it on our list.
I mean, if we're going to invest $9,000-$10,000, another dock is a portion of that. I mean, you might as well go all in on something like that versus half-cocked on it. I support this idea. I have some concerns about Trailside Park, though, that are going to be some challenges. Not that they can't be overcome, of course, but, you know, the dock was one of them. Parking,
Parking is
another issue, which also leads to visibility, and then the dock. And it's going to be hard for anyone to even know it's down there without, like, getting a spot to park or hidden down underneath there.
Is the dock going to interfere with the water ski club?
Excuse me?
Depending on the size of the dock and the location, is it going to interfere with the water ski club?
It would have to be a smaller dock. They stay, we would want to work with them, obviously, but as you get further away from them, the shoreline gets even smaller and more difficult to use. In Hidden Spring Park, it says there it's no, essentially no use of that shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a city ordinance? Is that something that we can modify? Is it something we want to investigate modifying as part of a conversation such as this?
It's not an ordinance.
They could make it like a nice little beach area and put a little dock in there for, because you got the parking across the street too.
Yeah, it's got more parking, it's got more visibility.
You can utilize that park more.
I'd like to put out an alternative concept. I really like the idea of paddle boards and kayaks and that amenity. And I also like the idea of at least potentially looking at Hidden Springs, that it was, the netting and stuff was put there to help recover the shoreline, but from the people I've heard who have looked over there, who are a little more educated than I am on it, it seems to have worked, which means it's not eroding. I think that's good, and if we could, you know, try to, if we were to put a dock there, we would just be careful, you know, not to. But the alternative.
If you put a dock there, they would go out on the dock and come in on the dock. They wouldn't be on the shoreline.
Yeah, exactly.
In theory.
But the alternative idea I'd like to throw out is we have a local resource for paddleboards and kayaks with Warco Nature Center. They actually rent all of that stuff for the chain lakes, including Peltier and Centerville. They're already established, and my guess is if they were to offer the same services, it's going to come a lot less than $10,000. They have the kayaks. They have the, you know, trailer to put them all on. If we just tweak it a little bit, we could actually either coordinate with them or just ask them to provide that as a service at Hidden Springs or Trailside or wherever we think is a good.
I think that I could be wrong, but don't they provide that service for their park?
No,
is it
it's a it's a county thing. They, I mean, Wargo has the equipment, but other people can rent it.
I think, you know, I think the question would be, I mean, that if you want to compare it, I don't think that's a bad idea, but I also think that, you know, we would need to know what's the cost to the person who's renting the kayaks, and we would need to know that they could make it as accessible as a locker that has all of these things that they could go to rent and return. Because
these people would do that?
That Wargo could do that in a similar fashion, that they could make it that easily accessible.
They do have the average order value on here of $30.
Okay, so, but they don't tell you how long that is or anything like that. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, because if Wargo has to have a person out there, that's going to cost a lot more than having lockers which are self-serve. I mean, we could look at that.
I think all I'm asking is if we might entertain a second bid from Wargo and just say, here's an idea, we're floating, tell us what you can offer, and then the park board can actually look at it and go, which one is best for us.
We could do this for cheaper, I know we could, but I think there's a convenience in here both for the city and for the user here. This happens, it looks like they've got a more advanced system where they can unlock remotely, pay online, and keep everything secured. I know we could find a way to do something like this also, but the convenience, it does have a value to it. And I don't know what that is, but it does have a certain amount of value to it.
Yeah. And just to be clear, Brian, I'm not suggesting we do it. It would be either this company or Wargo.
I think
as a surface that, you know, if we wanted it, we could.
The bigger question is do you want to open up Hidden Springs for potential swimming, potential kayak, canoe, sub-rental, and the same with Trailside Park, either or of them?
I see your point, but I would like to believe we can do it without harming either park. It's just Trailside doesn't seem like a great location because of parking and access and so forth. Hidden Springs at least gets rid of some of the logistics.
Are you okay with somebody pulling a boat up to Hidden Spring? And
no.
You mean besides a kayak or a paddleboard? Is that what you're saying?
Besides one of those.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay with somebody standing there fishing off of a dock?
I don't know that we can prevent it. If we provide the dock, I don't know that we can prevent it.
I mean, I personally am in favor of all those except for someone parking a boat there. But I think some signage and there's some things we could do to potentially consider reducing some of those types of things and controlling how it's used. But as I look at our city of Centerville here, with the two lakes here, we've only got two access points to our lake in our city, and neither one of them are great. One of them is closed off to anything other than looking at the lake, and the other one has got no parking. It's hard to get at.
And they say accessible, and you can't get a sheriff on them docks. You know, they can make something a lot more decent for, you know. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. I mean, because that park is like, you know, like we rented it for a wedding, but you could have it so, like, people could, if they wanted to have a picnic for their kids there or whatever, they can have a little bit of swimming or whatever extra, you know, when they rent that park.
I gotta see what I'm familiar with at that entry point to the lake. It would be highly desirable for swimming. It's, you know, no sand, no beach, yeah. But right off of that particular point is a whole lot of marsh. Just really marsh, which means there's, you know, no hard sand. It'd be really pretty hard to provide the safety aspect. Because I swim really well, and I go, hey, no thanks. And I'd worry about kids just.
So let's go back to the original question at hand about pursuing this kayak locker. Okay, so we've all kind of said we're interested, sort of. The voices that I've heard have said, yeah, this is an interesting idea. Let's look at it a little more in depth. Okay, okay, and we've also said, let's see what Wargo can do, if they can do something similar for the same price. So we don't meet again for a month. Will we lose out on the deal if we wait? Or do we need to kind of make a decision with this group now? It looks like they work with St. Paul. They have stuff at Lake Phelan and Como. And they're in a couple other places as well.
On their website, it showed they have seven lockers total.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good idea to go see what one of them looks like. If I can get a little more on Como, that's an area I've traveled a lot.
There's a concern for parking, as I'm sitting here thinking about it. In the summer, what's to prevent somebody from parking at the school and walking there to the Trailside Park to rent? I'm thinking the reason why they're talking Trailside Park is it's very visible. High traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, a sign could be put that, you know, parking available at the school.
Does the school allow that, typically? I thought it would.
So for Main Street Market, I typically work with the school to get a permit for parking, and so does Bald Eagle Water for the use of the park. I think
But you also have the Centerville Road there that can park on the street. And if you've got four kayaks, you got four people.
There's parking along Main Street up by Kelly's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's parking that's within walking distance.
But depending on the time of day, though, there isn't anything available.
Do we know if the lockers, if they have a time limit?
I can contact this individual and see if he will allow us to do additional research and guarantee that price.
Thank you. I think that would be really helpful.
Where were you looking for Lake Phelan and Como, particularly Como? I do call it a lot.
Check and make sure first, but yeah, if you want to go look at the locker, I'm off this Friday, so I can call Wargo if that's of interest and see if they have anything like that.
Yeah. Speak with Todd. He got promoted to.
Okay.
Would you also like for us to research, say, I'm really bad at this 30-foot dock. Cost of a 30-foot dock. I don't know the footage that. Again, I stated I was really bad at that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it needs to be very long for a kayak. I think that if I recall correctly, they're at 16-foot increments. Is a standard one.
It gives you the sizes of the kayaks from here.
And a longer dock is obviously more expensive, and it's going to be more likely to have boaters pull up on it too. Because it'll put them in deeper water. And if our intent is just for kayaks, then I don't see a reason to
just go any further than that. Just a platform type structure to get.
We need it to fit just right for
land to water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even if they launch them right off the one end, that's the only place it's deep enough, that's fine. So we're going to keep looking at this.
Another 8-foot sections.
So like a 16 would be.
I haven't seen their pricing list in a while.
1 8-foot section with a platform for the ground and then attached to an 8-foot section.
Just tell them what you want it for, and they can probably give you an idea.
I'll leave it to Paul.
I'd recommend, the dock manufacturer I recommend would be Vibo.
Vibo?
V-I-B-O. They are the only one in the area that is a direct reseller. They manufacture and sell theirs to the public, and they are half price of anyone else that I've seen.
Are they good quality?
Yes, they are. We own several of them.
Are they wood platform, or are they...
They're aluminum docks with removable decking, and you can get roll-in, you can get floating, you can get post-driven ones, you can get whatever you want.
Are you a dealer?
He's a fan.
Asking because I do have a personal use.
Okay, so are we have a plan to move forward with this on then?
Yes.
Okay. And you'll let us know if they will give us the extension with that?
I will.
Fee. Okay, perfect. Perfect, perfect. So we're going to move on to number 5, park facility permit application. This should be a fairly easy one. The scouts want to shoot off rockets.
For as an FYI only, this is PAC 232 of Llano Lakes at Living Waters. It is not the local PAC, and that makes no difference. It's just information.
Okay, so.
I know many of the leaders over there, and they're a fantastic unit.
They have used it for numerous years.
Yes, they have.
For the same event, and we have not had an issue with it, and they've been very good.
No rockets have gone directly at the church.
Pardon me?
No rockets have accidentally gone directly at the church.
Okay, can we get a motion?
Directly.
I will make a motion to recommend to council to approve the park facility usage application as submitted, subject to Public Works direction director's approval regarding turf conditions. Can I get a second?
Aye.
Second. I think Brian got it first. So Heidi made the recommendation. Brian made the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, now we're looking at our minutes.
Isn't there one more?
March.
There's a grant.
What?
A BWSR grant next in the packet.
Yeah, good catch. Let's check that out.
Yeah, that is kind of out of order, isn't it?
Oh, discussion and or recommendation to City Council to allow staff to submit for grant associated with a pollinator garden. Okay, so is this a...
It's just information to consider. It was not an item, it was just information to consider if you want to... Make a motion. What was the deadline? Applications accepted through June 27th, so we can talk about it at another meeting if you'd like.
I think pollinator gardens are great.
Sounds awesome.
We have one small one.
We have a small one, right?
An acorn.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I remember when you were in last Katya, you were talking about more like gardens and flower beds and whatnot too. Mm-hmm. This might be a good opportunity to incorporate some of that.
Is that it?
I think it doesn't hurt to allow for the submission of the grant, and then we can figure out a park that we feel like could really use a pollinator grant.
Yeah.
She was present.
Why not?
You good with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Other thoughts?
Okay.
So I'm all for it.
You good?
Okay.
I think we should say that would also be included.
What are you guys on down there at the end?
Nothing.
Okay, so does somebody want to make a recommendation to City Council to allow staff to submit for a grant associated with pollinator garden or gardens?
I will make a recommendation to City Council to allow staff to submit for a grant associated with pollinator gardens.
Can we get a second?
Well, I had to say the whole thing, didn't I?
Yeah. A second.
Kathy's, okay, so Ashley made the recommendation. Kathy seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Good catch on that one. Okay, now we're up to minutes. So if everybody hasn't already reviewed their minutes and would like to take a moment to do that, please do. Is anybody ready to make a motion for the approval of minutes?
I will make the motion to approve last month's minutes with a couple of minor spelling errors.
Okay, and you two have discussed those down there?
We have.
Okay. I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Did everybody have enough time? Okay, motion carries. All right, staff updates.
The only update I have is the Quad Area Chamber of Commerce would like to hold a winter fest, or will be holding a winter fest, the week of February 12th through the 16th. And they would like to know if the committee would like to schedule their second skate event within that time frame, or as weather has not favored that second skate night, would you be willing to run an additional event or partner with EDA to run an event? What
are the dates again?
Between February 12th and the 16th.
Up next year?
Yes.
I think it'd be a good idea to have sort of a backup plan, since we've struggled with some of the skate night weather. I just don't know what to offer.
And what other events are, and it's a, what is this activity called?
It's just a regional partnership with communities around the area that are active in the Quad area. So some events will be happening in Lino Lakes and they will showcase them, and some will be happening elsewhere and they will showcase them. Would you like to do an activity, you know, have your skate night within that time frame and showcased? Or would you like to run something with EDA?
Those are only two options.
February 12th through the 16th, you could be creative.
It's about the same time we have a skate night.
Yeah, why don't we look at the skate night?
The 14th is Friday. So.
I won't be there if it's on that day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's a bad day for me.
The 15th would be.
15th. So we could look at doing a skate night on February 15th.
Yeah, I think so. It's a Saturday.
Did you want to schedule your January then? Same time? On a Friday?
I suppose you might as well.
So.
Save ourselves some time later on.
10th or the 17th?
Yeah, 10th or the 17th. Horse apiece.
So it would be a Friday in January.
Yeah. So what's the middle Friday? It's usually around the 14th.
So I'll roll the dice.
You want to do 10th with a backup date of the 17th?
I'm fine with the 10th.
Okay.
Backup dates 15th. A little less warm on with this since we have two of them.
Oh, okay. So we're thinking of January 10th and February 15th. The 10th is a Friday, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. And the 15th is a Saturday. What do other members think? Is everybody feeling like those are good dates?
Depends on what the winter looks like.
If it's feasible.
Well, if it's a normal winter, that's probably when the Lions would have their ice machine contest would be that Saturday.
Yeah, well, and if the weather doesn't cooperate, we'll usually cancel.
I think this event is intended to actually coincide with the ice fishing contest.
Correct. If there's ice.
Yeah. Maybe we could get the kayak guy to come.
The alleged ice fishing contest, yes.
We might have a fishing contest.
I just want to say one more thing. So on that note, if indeed it's not feasible to have skate night on February 15th, if everybody could kind of think about another activity that we could do to replace that.
Bingo.
Sledding.
Something of that.
Snow sculpting.
Yep, some kind of activity. And so if everybody can wrap their brains around that, and we can come with some ideas if we need them and have a backup plan, so that way we would have an activity since we're coordinating with other people as well. That'd be great.
So can we add in the statement to have our other committee? They wanted to see if they wanted to do something together. That might be nice.
Along with your skate night?
Yeah. To have them, I don't know, come to the warming house and maybe answer questions, or maybe just we plan something with them.
I'm a big proponent of one activity at a time. So if skate night doesn't go, then I'm happy to look at something else, but I don't want to plan two activities at one time.
Rubber ducky race.
Sled down.
We could have rubber ducky dog sled races. Yeah.
Chair, will you mind looking at that? The jar?
Behold the jar with a s'more in it and some stuff on the bottom that looks like shredded cardboard.
It's just shredded paper, but
you
if deserve, you look inside,
you deserve s'more. Find out how
you... Anyway, you will notice that they were able to get individual sealed graham crackers.
Yes.
Individually sealed
Schmellos.
Marshmallows.
You do it.
I bet if I contacted the firm that was nice enough to provide us with that
sample,
we might be able to find out who their vendor was.
And use these for skate night is what you're thinking.
Correct.
Okay.
Make a s'more, use the cup for some beverage.
Well, or maybe just get the packaged material and
do it ourselves.
I think that would be worth a look. Yeah. I think we have to definitely look into the cost of it though, for sure. If it's feasible, we could do it. Okay.
Overused the word.
Sorry. Committee member update. I was hoping that MM could be here to tell us what was going on with the logo contest. I did email him earlier today, but I guess it was a little too late to see if he could pass it on to me and I could share, but I didn't.
I also did.
Okay. So he must be, he's a busy guy. So anybody have any other updates that they want to share?
Did you read the council liaison update that was contained in your packet?
The very last page. Flip it over. Looks like I missed one heck of a meeting.
Oh, you weren't there?
No, I came down. I came down with the stomach flu Wednesday, and basically barely made it back from an appointment I had out of town.
You rushed me. I was on committee member updates. I was like talking to anybody on our committee. That's all right.
I wasn't sure if Council Liaison Sweeney wanted to provide the update or if it was sufficient that it was contained in your packet.
Okay. So it says Fête du Lac turning over most activities and events to the Lions. Are there some activities and events that the Lions will not be doing?
5 and 8K run.
I'm not sure if we're handling the parade or not either.
Oh.
Canoe, kayak, sub race.
Okay. So the stuff we're doing. And then perhaps the parade?
I'm not sure what's going on with the parade and stuff. With some of the meetings I have to attend here, I'm missing some of the Lions meetings, so and I'll be missing the next one this month because of the fire steering committee. So I can't give you a lot of the Lions information other than the last I heard, the planning for the Fête is going really well. And on the 20th of this month is our Lions Cadillac dinner. I think there might be a couple tickets left. At least there was in the last email I got.
How long ago was that?
Last week. And just like everything else, we had to raise the price because the cost of the meat was about $2 a pound more than it was last year.
Oh, wow. That's significant.
Yes, when you're cooking 12 roasts that are between 16 and 20 pounds, that's a lot.
Okay, anybody have any questions on any of that? That maybe Mr. Sweeney can answer for us?
They will be treating, you're aware that Rice Creek Watershed has received the $1 million grant.
Did they get the okay from the other city that's involved?
That I haven't heard, but our council approved $85,000.
Because because that was part of the grant, was that each city had to participate a certain
cost level.
Yes. Last I heard, the other city that's involved has not approved their portion.
City of Centerville has approved their portion. We have heard that a new cost share agreement is coming and it will be slightly reduced.
Because we got the grant?
No.
Or the grant was more than what we were expecting?
I believe that the numbers have been more fine-tuned, so it's not 35.
Okay. Like I said, it sounds like I missed a lot on Wednesday.
Okay, so that brings us to our conclusion. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, Suzanne made the motion to adjourn, Brian seconded. This meeting is adjourned at 8:13 p.m.